Welcome to Baby Tour Guide's Montessori Babies podcast. I'm your host and baby tour guide, Bianca Solorsino, and for the last decade, I have dedicated myself to helping parents, educators, and caregivers optimize baby development through a Montessori lens. This podcast is all about evolving our Montessori practice to make our time with our sweet babies easier, relaxed, and so much fun. Let's jump into it. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Season 2, Episode 30 of our Montessori Babies podcast. This week is a special episode because it is a guest episode. I had the opportunity to talk with Ingrid Rhodes, and she is an incredible Montessorian, a new mom, and so wonderful in what she shares about embracing new motherhood. She offers so many Montessori tips, general practical tips for new motherhood, and it's just a really, really lovely conversation. But before we jump into that, I wanted to chat a little bit. So this episode is so fun. As you guys can tell, I'm talking a little bit quieter. I'm sitting here in my bed. It's morning. I have my coffee. It's kind of gloomy out. It's just really beautiful. My son's still sleeping, so that's kind of why I'm talking like this. So I thought we could go ahead and jump into our quote for the week. Our quote this week is by Dr. Montessori, and she said, "How much fuller and richer would life be if we saw the child in all his greatness, all his beauty, instead of focusing on his little mistakes?" So the reason I chose this quote for this episode specifically is because I feel like such a huge part of embracing new motherhood is it's a mindset shift and it's an approach that we take with our child, especially when we're doing Montessori. You know, there's this foundation of approaching the child with a sense of capability and with respect. And, you know, you're choosing to focus on seeing the beauty that they show us every day. And we dive into some of that in this conversation with Ingrid, and I'm so excited to share it with you guys. So quickly before, I have been working on something that I think is going to be so helpful for you guys, and it is a totally free Montessori at-home guide on how to do Montessori from birth to 2 years. I'm so excited to share this with you guys. It is jam-packed with Montessori info for you, for baby development tips to help you understand what is going on in there and, you know, get a generalized sense of what you need to do Montessori at home so you can have that foundation and build from there. I have it linked below for you. It's in the show notes. So definitely download it, check it out. I'm so happy to finally be sharing it with you guys. Okay, so without further ado, let me introduce Ingrid. So she is a mom. She's a certified educational psychologist, Montessori guide from 3 to 6, a positive discipline educator, and an author of the bilingual books Noah Learns to Appreciate and Ellie, the Youngest Owner. She has always had an interest in human behavior and helping others, working in many educational settings as a teacher in Spain, in the United States, and in England. Originally from Spain, she lives in England, where she runs workshops for parents and educators online. She's currently studying counseling, which gives her a very holistic understanding of psychology and education. She firmly believes that education, empathy, and compassion are fundamental pillars of society and that we should all understand and respect children as individuals, making them a part of our adult world. So I can't wait for you guys to meet Ingrid. So let's just go ahead and jump into our interview. Thank you so much for coming on the show, Ingrid. I'm so happy to have you.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, Bianca.
So can you tell us a bit about how you found Montessori as well as your educational and professional history and then what you currently do so our audience can get to know you a bit?
Yeah, sure. I mean, it's a lot there. But when I did my degree in early years education back in, 2008 approximately, you know, I just learned different educational methods. And that included Montessori. And I guess I fell in love with it straight away because, you know, I felt very identified with it. And it's because I kind of grew up in a house where there was a lot of freedom, but within limits, just exactly like Montessori. And my mom never knew that she was actually following that kind of approach. So she just did it naturally, I guess. So she would always let me explore things and encourage me to help at home. And I guess that's how I kind of really felt identified with this, the method. No, but also, both of my parents loved writing, music, nature, and, you know, it was just very natural for me to just fell in love straight away with the Montessori method. And you know, at uni, I was like, I just want to teach this way. I just want to do this.
Yeah.
But then I found that the Montessori qualifications were too expensive for me. So I literally stopped thinking that that was a possibility for me, sadly. I mean, back in those times as well. But I carried on with my studies. And after the degree, I did a master's in educational psychology, which led me to go to the US to work there as a Spanish teacher, actually, for a year. Wow. And I loved the experience. And after that, I went to the UK. So I was jumping, you know, country to country to keep on with my English, but also to live new experiences and things like that. I started to combine my self-employed teaching. I was just teaching there, you know, with some professional singing, actually, which is very random. But
wow.
But yeah, because, you know, I grew up in this environment where I would just sing and produce music with my brother and things like that. So I was just doing this mix of teaching and singing. But then after almost 10 years of teaching, because I saw myself with some new nice savings, I decided to study the Montessori method finally, because I saw myself with the possibilities. So I got certified as a Montessori guide, went to work for a few Montessori settings here in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
And I also started to get qualified as a positive discipline educator because I found that both approaches were very close to each other, actually. So I just got very interested in those. And now, well, I'm a full-time mom of a baby and I'm applying the Montessori and gentle parenting methods at home with him. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm giving myself a little break from working for now, but I decided I could take that time to also keep studying. I mean, because I love psychology and helping others, I wanted to also get qualified as a counselor. So I think it really fits well with the Montessori, the positive discipline and everything. So I'm just getting this holistic understanding of education in general. So that's where I'm today, really. I'm kind of, you know, floating there. But
that is so inspiring. Oh my goodness. I had no idea you were a singer too. That's incredible.
Very random. Yeah.
I'm sure your son loves it though.
Yeah, he does actually. Yeah.
So I'm so excited to dive into our conversation because you're a Montessorian and a new mama. So I know our audience is going to find so much value in our conversation. Mm-hmm. One of the topics we initially discussed was social media and the vast amount of information that's out there. And this is a topic that is also near and dear to my heart. So I would love if you would dive into this a bit.
Oh, yeah, social media. I mean, I mean, well, this is the thing, right? I think I'm just going to admit right now that because I have been studied so much about child development, psychology, the Montessori method, blah, blah, blah. Before being a mom, I thought, well, parenting is super hard, but I know a lot. So I'll be kind of perfect, right? Well, little did I know. I mean, straight away after being a mom, I had so many questions and doubts. So I started to search for information constantly online. You know, it kind of got a little bit obsessive. I was like, oh my God, although I know about this, I feel very new with this, you know, mom thing. So it kind of felt like the theory, it was very useless, really. Everything I kind of knew. Because at the end of the day, practice is what counts, isn't it?
Yeah. So, and you're so sleepy.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So yeah, I started to look for answers online or see things in social media. And a lot of the anxieties started to come, you know, like I bet many others have felt too, because the inevitable just happens. Like comparisons, wow, that baby is the same age as my baby. And I don't know, it's just already crawling or walking and mine is not. Or then you start to wonder what's wrong with the baby or even worse, what's wrong with me or, you know. Yeah. So I think this is when we really need to just reflect as adults, as individuals. And for me, understanding that milestones are a mere reference, really, and that every child develops at different paces. So that really helped me put a perspective and understand that, you know, not feel bad about that sort of thing, actually. So as a parent, you really need to be aware of those things and just accept and support your child as a unique individual, no matter how different they are from others, because being different is normal and it's good, actually. So, I mean, mean, imagine right. how boring the world would be, right? If everyone did the same things, ate the same things, mm-hmm. or looked the same. I don't know. It's just not rational. First part is we are very good at worrying anyway. But
comes so with I would job. Just say,
yeah, absolutely. So I would just say that parents of the world, stop comparing yourself with other parents and your babies with other babies. And it's just not healthy and realistic. So what I did is considerably reduced the time I was spending on social media and just try to be more present, spending just quality time with my son. So mm-hmm. yeah, I think that's it.
Yeah, that's amazing advice. Mm-hmm. I find so much value in just the statement that every child develops differently and is so beautifully yeah. different. And same with each parent, you know, you're your own unique self coming into this new opportunity. And yeah. it's just, you know, you're the perfect parent for your baby. So
exactly. That's it, isn't it?
Yeah. So given that you're in the thick of it, you're in infancy and you're a new mom with your sweet baby, as you know, in Montessori, we strongly encourage and support the idea of the prepared adult. And one of the pieces of the prepared adult is self-care. So can you talk about how you're approaching self-care and then maybe offer tips for the new mamas in our community?
For self-care is a big one, isn't it? I think it would be nice to approach this kind of topic with a more realistic essence, because I think I always hear the same advice for self-care, but I don't hear much about the realities, really. And what I mean by realities, I mean every individual has different realities. But mm-hmm. Before being a mom again, I thought, well, I got this because I've been working on myself for a long time and I can manage my own emotions. So I'm sure when my baby's here, I'm going to just teach him all this very easily. And when the time came, I actually didn't know that loads of other internal issues or even traumas that everyone has in certain level were coming to the surface, really. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't ready for that psychological baggage, if you want to call it like that, to hit me at all. And it really did. Yeah, I had to ask for some mental support and really work on it, because I want the best for my son. And if I'm the one that is not okay in the first place, so then that's it, isn't it? Mm-hmm. So there's many ways for self-care, really. The basics, like eat well, sleep well, do exercise as much as you can. But sometimes, as new moms or parents in general, we might not have that time because we're still even trying to figure out naps, the feeds with our babies, our own routines. So for me, the typical advice of sleep when your baby sleeps, that didn't really work, because I tried to put him in his cot and he would just scream. Mm-hmm. So I had to contact nap with him, which is lovely, but until he was literally 6 months, so I couldn't have naps myself. Mm-hmm. And not to mention some women that have such a, I don't know, hormonal changes in their bodies that they even suffer from insomnia. So it's not as easy as people think it is to be able to just rest or eat well, you know. And I had a hard recovery after birth, so I couldn't do much exercise. So I think, again, for me, I was mentally and physically, you know, tired to get back on track with all this self-care. So I think the realistic advice that I would give is more being compassionate with yourself, for example. That's a little bit easier to do, right? Yeah. You don't need much time to be compassionate with yourself. Just, for example, if you don't prepare a great meal, it's okay. You're doing fantastic. You're doing the best you can. If you don't have time to rest, that's okay. It's only temporary. You know, it will get better. So try to practice these positive thoughts, you know, like I'm only new at this. Things take time to learn, you know. Also, maybe try to stop the perfectionism a little bit. I'm guilty for that. I'm really working on it because it's not very healthy. And I guess, you know, just because I wanted to breastfeed so badly and I couldn't. So, of course, things get in the way and that's absolutely fine. We just need to be more compassionate with ourselves. And, you know, formula is great as well nowadays. So also if your kid is not napping exactly the times that they need, it's okay, you know, all these kind of little things. But also, I guess, well, I said it before, but just use the phone less if you can. Try to, you know, be more present, observe your child maybe, or get out of the house if you can, of course, because sometimes you can't, especially after recovering from birth. But yeah, just try to be a little bit more present. I think that really worked for me when I actually got out of the house finally. But it's very nice to try to enjoy whatever it is. If you don't have nature around, that's okay. Buildings have lovely architecture too, you know. There's always something to appreciate.
If you're a new parent hoping to implement Montessori at home, you may be surprised to know that you will be spending the majority of your days fostering independence with your baby. Yes, even more than the Montessori toys, materials, activities, and furniture that you see on social media. And fostering independence is the easiest and quickest way to transform your parenting experience, bringing peace to your parenting as you optimize your baby's growth during their most crucial years of development. Plus, fostering independence is the most misunderstood Montessori concept for babies. That is why I am teaching my Montessori workshop on fostering independence from infancy to toddlerhood. In this 30-minute workshop, you will learn what it truly means to foster independence the Montessori way, plus you'll get the exact steps on how to foster independence with our non-mobile babies, our sitting, slithering, crawling, and cruising babies, and our young toddlers. This workshop is usually $9, but because my goal is to support you as much as possible, I am gifting it to you totally free. So if you're ready to transform both your experience and baby's experience during their most crucial time in their developmental journey, click the free workshop link in the show notes. And now back to our show.
And I guess this is my mantra now, but I guess thinking that mistakes are great opportunities to learn, really. You know, I made so many mistakes, but thanks to them, I learned so much, you know, how to do things in another way. Mm-hmm. So if that happens, just again, be compassionate. So I guess more of those practical tips, really, more than the eat well, you know, because sometimes we don't have time to prepare those amazing meals and all these things. So it's just so more emotional support. Yeah, I would say.
Thank you for sharing those. I feel like those are such tangible pieces of info, because you're right. It's so true. It's hard to meet your needs in those, especially in the early stages, but even still, exactly. Everybody's journey is different. And I loved what you said about, you know, using observation and being more present, and because those are the things that will kind of naturally ease your anxieties, you know? It kind of falls really in line with what I asked you previously too about the social media and stuff, because that's more anxiety inducing, you know?
Yes.
And yeah, so thank you for sharing those. Those are really good tips.
No worries.
So I know from my own personal experience, it can be hard to find time or energy for self-care. I know similarly to kind of what you shared, we had a harder birth experience and then a harder recovery and postpartum anxiety and the whole thing. And so what I've learned is that seeking support can be extremely helpful for this. So would you mind sharing some of the ways that families can seek support, and maybe even for those who don't necessarily have close family or friends, what guidance you would offer them?
Yeah, that's a great point, because sometimes we don't really have anybody around, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, the ones that they do is amazing. It's so lucky, isn't it? But sometimes you don't. So yeah, what do you do? I mean, it depends on the country you live in, doesn't it? Because of course, I live in England, and this country is quite good. It's quite good in general for support. The medical service here, the NHS, you can actually self-refer yourself for something called talking therapies. And I'm not sure in the US you have it.
No, I don't think so.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So this thing, talking therapy, so you just join a waiting list. Sometimes it's a little bit long. It depends on how bad you are, really. But but then, you know, they get in touch and you just go for therapy, actually. And not necessarily means that you really have a lot of, you know, traumas or issues. It's just, you know, just to talk about things, how you're doing, supporting you as an individual in general. But also important to talk to your doctors or midwives, health visitors. I don't know if you have that system as well in the US, but here every so often, you know, health visitors come to your house to see how your baby's developing, how you are doing mentally and physically as well. So they are very helpful. Yeah. Also for breastfeeding support as well. So they can help too. But yeah, in general, I think go to your GP if you can. Again, I'm not sure in the US it's a little bit tricky, isn't it? Because everything is so expensive and things like that. So not sure how it works. But of course, if you are so lucky that you have family or friends around, definitely ask them, you know, for help. I remember I'm lucky my mom is around. You know, I'm from Spain, actually, and I live in the UK, but my mom lives here in the UK. So I'm very lucky. So yeah, when I had my son, I asked her to just come and cook some meals for me and put them in the freezer and that's just clean cool. a little bit, because honestly, it was insane. My house was insane.
Yeah. That describes the time.
Because I also have a dog. So it was just crazy.
Oh, wow.
But again, if you don't have any help around, and or probably, you know, hopefully doctors or midwives, things like that can help. If not, I would just Google some, I don't know, anything really that you really need help with, and I'm sure you can find it locally or online maybe, because sometimes, of course, if you're a new mom, you can't really go anywhere, can you, with your newborn? So it's a tricky one, but yeah, definitely the UK is a very good country for help like this. Yeah,
that's awesome. I do have quite a few listeners too from the UK, Europe, and Asia and Australia. In the US, it gets a little bit trickier because things, like you were mentioning, things get very expensive, they're privatized. Mm-hmm. And so it's dependent on, you know, like your insurance, but there are wonderful nonprofits. Typically too, there will be, you know, someone from a local agency. It's state dependent, but there will be someone who will reach out to you just to kind of see, especially in my experience, my baby was early. So they would reach out to me just to, again, kind of check in to see how he's developing. It wasn't a home visit, but it was a phone. Right. And that felt like something, you know, they would call and just check in. That's just something.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe you can Google some like charities maybe, or do you have Red Cross there?
Yes, we do have the Red Cross. Yeah.
I mean, maybe they can help as well. I don't know.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I'm sure there's nonprofits and stuff.
Yeah.
You know what? I'll even do a little bit of research and add some stuff in the show notes for anyone who's listening, who's looking for some support. I'll put some nonprofits in the show notes. So that will be there for you guys. Yeah. Well, thank you for sharing that. I know it can be so tricky in those early months, and whatever we can do to support our community who's in those phases, and just know that it's temporary and
exactly
you and baby will continue to grow together. So when we initially spoke and kind of coordinated our chat, you talked about leaning into partnerships, which I loved. And I think it's so interesting because, you know, when you have a partnership, things definitely shift when baby comes. And it's so common, you know, that one parent is diving into information seeking and sharing what they find with the other parent. And so can you touch on this overarching concept a bit?
Yeah. Oh, another one, right? So interesting. Yeah, I love these topics, actually. It's very important that we talk about them. I think the main thing to say here is probably that your partner is an equal, right? From my perspective, is an equal. Of course, we are going to have differences or different experience, you know, because maybe you come from, your partner has already more children or something. But if you're new parents in general, I would definitely encourage you to just treat your partner as you would like to be treated. So maybe, you know, avoiding the patronizing or trying to rescue them either, you know, just see yourself as a team, really. It's very important that we really maintain this horizontal relationship, right? Where both you are on the same page. Just try to encourage your partner by noticing the things they do great and thank them for it, just being grateful and thankful. I actually found that doing this with my partner worked really, really well, because of course, as a perfectionist that I was, because I'm really working on it. I was only picking up the things that he was doing wrong. Wow. And then I realized, I was aware, like, this is not good. He's trying his best the same way I am trying my best. So I think it's very, very important to forget about the bad, the negatives, and focus on the good things, the little things that they are doing right? Or that they are trying even, because it's better to focus on the effort than the outcome, right?
Yeah.
So fortunately, I think, I mean, I have a very involved dad, you know, on board. So we do everything 50-50, really. It's fair. No one feels alone and we feel supported by each other. But sometimes I understand that life gets in the way and some partners work away from home or have very different educational views, or they are not on the same page, which is absolutely normal. But yeah, because sometimes, I mean, we do have this thing where we mirror each other, right? So if one person has a very bad mood, the most likely is that the other person gets very moody as well. Mm-hmm. So I think if you deliver patience and if you deliver compassion and gratitude and, you know, kindness, I think you probably get it back. And honestly, try it as an experiment. Try to be kind. Try to give more compliments, right? Like, hey, you look good today. You do look good today. Have you done something differently? You know, and these little things, I know, I mean, of course, it really depends on the relationship you have, but obviously intimacy as well gets affected too. You don't have much time. So, but I wouldn't put any pressure on yourself about that because just, you know, giving affection to your partner, even a hug, you know, sometimes is enough. A look, just a look, mm-hmm. or, you know, a thank you so much for doing that. It's just communication, isn't it? Trying to be open and honest, and yeah, it's a very challenging one, very, very challenging. So again, be compassionate with yourselves.
So interesting how all these intertwine too, you know, like the self-care piece and how if your needs aren't met, it's harder to stay present and calm and be soft with your partner.
That's so true, right? It's so easy to say right now here that I'm having a cup of tea, I'm relaxed. But when you are a new parent and you are tired, you haven't slept, you literally have no rational brain available, do you? You are all emotions. So the last thing you're thinking is, thank you for changing that nappy. but yeah, honestly, really, it's really trying hard to notice in those, you know, the good instead of the bad. So
absolutely. That's a really good thing to be conscious about. So thank you for saying that. I think the thing that I guess was a saving tool in my mind during that time, especially with my partner, and I haven't really dove into this too much on the show, which maybe we can chat about further in this topic because it's a big one. Yeah. But in my relationship, I think I definitely had to learn to ride on the horizontal line. And to give my partner the same learning grace as, you know, any new parent, because, you know, I come from this world and I've been in it for so long, and, you know, I'm like, yay, it's my turn, you know, but it's our turn, you know? So I had to lean into that and learn that as time went on. And,
you know? Same.
But another thing too that I like to think of is that even though baby is so tiny, I was modeling how to treat and how to be treated, you know, with our babies. And so that was probably my saving grace, because the other stuff I wasn't conscious about until later. But thank you for sharing all of that. That's a really good thing to be conscious about. So the majority of our listeners are new parents, specifically new mamas, but we do have quite a few dads in our community as well. And then we have caregivers and educators of infants and young toddlers. So what is one great piece of advice that you've learned within your experience for this beautiful and wild stage of new parenthood?
Probably don't join the child's chaos. To me, that is key. Yeah, don't join the child's chaos. Mm-hmm. I mean, like we said, like you just said before, right? Try to stay calm is quite hard sometimes, but you need to do whatever you have to do to remain calm, right? Learn techniques and try to practice them as an adult, because self-regulation is a skill, really. It's a tough one. And adults, we need to practice it first so we can A, keep our cool together when the challenges arise, and B, to teach our kids by modeling good emotional intelligence. So I think, just keep practicing little by little, you know. And also, I don't know, I mean, this is kind of like conscious parenting, right? And I don't know if you know about Dr. Shefali's work.
I don't.
Oh my goodness. Bianca, yeah, you need to have a look at Bianca and all the listeners. Dr. Shefali, she's amazing.
Writing it down.
She's basically, a clinical psychologist and best known for her work in conscious parenting, actually. She said once, I think it was along the lines of, it is not about raising the child, it's about raising the parent. And it's just so true, isn't it? Because at the end of the day, we kind of feel like, oh, I need to fix my child, how I can teach my child. But actually, what about ourselves looking within us, you know, because all of us come with so much psychological baggage that unconsciously we really project onto our children. Mm-hmm. So, for instance, some parents get very nervous, not only with children, but also with their partners, if they don't do things the way they expect them to do it, which is absolutely normal. It probably happens to everyone. It happens to me. It probably happens to everyone. So, like, for example, imagine, I don't know, spilling drinks or not putting their clothes where they should go or not going back to sleep for a nap, all these kind of things. So here we need to stop and think, okay, where do these issues come from within me? And how can I change them? When we understand that, oh, wait, you know, I get angry if my kid doesn't put his toys away, because when I was a kid myself, my mom would get very angry at me too. So I'm just repeating what she did, basically. It's a vicious cycle, you know, a circle. Mm-hmm. So we need to break that cycle by understanding our past so we can move forward and try to be a better version of that. We do have a lot of power to change if we actually care enough and if we are aware of it. But of course, it's again, life gets in the way. We are very tired. We have a lot of worries. It's very hard to find time to think about all these things. But we all have the potential to change and to do this. So, try to not join the child's chaos and work on yourself. We are the adults and we need to be there, you know, modeling for them.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, first of all, that's such incredible advice. I saw something recently, and gosh, I will find who quoted it and put it in the show notes, but it was a lady who was talking about how you act as two sources for the child when they're, you know, dysregulated or having a hard moment or something. Yeah. And you get to, you know, both model how to, you know, be there for them and, you know, validate, but also you get to show how to express. And but basically the child isn't doing something to you, right? It's happening in their world. It can be really hard when you're next to it and you're feeling the energy. And that's why I think the prepared it all is such an important pillar in Montessori as well. And so lastly, for a quick rapid fire question, what is your current favorite Montessori quote?
I actually had to think about this because there's too many. But this is not a Montessori quote, actually. Sorry about this, Bianca. But
it really
aligns with the philosophy.
Perfect.
it's from someone called Ignacio Estrada, which is not very known, this guy. But I think he's more known for alternative education. And he said, if a child can't learn the way we teach, maybe we should teach the way they learn. Mm-hmm. And I absolutely love that quote because it's so true, right? Like we adapt to them instead of them having to adapt to us. Yeah. I like that one.
That one's really beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. It just so falls in line with the following the child. So thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Well, thank you for all your insight. I'm so grateful for everything that you shared and for taking the time to come on the show. I know that the new mamas in our community are going to find such comfort in this episode. So thank you.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Bianca. I love your show. And I think it's so, so important that we talk about all these things, you know, so many different topics. So yeah, thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're welcome anytime on the show, whenever you want to keep chatting.
Amazing.
And that was our conversation with Ingrid. I hope you guys loved the conversation as much as I did. I found her so, so knowledgeable and just calm. And I just loved the tools that she shared. And I hope that you find so much value in it. I will have all of her resources linked in the show notes. She's just incredible. And I'm so thankful to have had her on. And yeah, that is about it for season 2, episode 30. I'm so grateful for our community of listeners. I'm having so much fun getting to know you guys. Definitely feel free to hop over to Instagram and say hi. You can find me at Baby Tour Guide. I know some of you already do, and we're already chatting in messages, and that's just a huge part of why I love doing this, is getting to connect with all of you. And also, don't forget to download the guide that I just released. I've already had hundreds of parents download it, and you know, they're letting me know that it's super helpful, so definitely check that out. And that is about it. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of our Montessori Babies podcast, and I will catch you in our next episode. Bye! Hey, it's Bianca, your baby tour guide here, hopping back in to say thank you again for listening to this episode of our Montessori Babies podcast. If you found this episode helpful, I would absolutely love if you would screenshot this episode and share it in your stories and tag me at baby tour guide. Also, leaving a review is really helpful in helping other parents and caregivers find our show. Dr. Montessori said, "The greatness of the human personality begins at the hour of birth," and you, as their parent and guide or caregiver, are just the perfect person for that job. I'm so honored to be even a small part on your journey. And just remember that we're in this together.